Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the ninth chapter, Perek Tes of Sefer Yeshayahu. And this Perek takes us into a new stage in history. It's important to appreciate this in context. Just to recap where we've been up to so far, Perek Aleph to Perek Vav have essentially been during the reign of Uzziah Melech. Uzziah Melech's reign was marked by plenty, success, expanded territories. Towards the end of Uzziah's reign, we notice that there's a devolution happening in the north, civil wars erupting there, king after king is being killed, there's been internal fighting between Manasseh and Ephraim in the north, and also the rise now slowly in the far north of the empire of Ashur. And we notice that after the death of Uzziah, there's a quiet and successful reign of Yotam, which Yeshayahu actually returns to his base Medrash, following which we've met Ahaz. And as we saw in the last few prakim, the mission that Yeshayahu has had towards Ahaz has been to tell him two messages. One is do not join the violent coalition of Ritzin of Aram and Pekach ben Ramaliah of Israel, don't join them, and on the other hand, don't submit to Ashur. Just sort of keep out of the fray. Don't get into the political environment around you. And what ends up happening, fascinatingly enough, is unfortunately Yeshayahu is not successful. What happens as if we read Melachim Bey's Perek Tezayin, as we did, putting things back into context now, what actually ends up happening is that under the siege of Aram and Yisrael, Ahaz goes off and sends messengers up north round the corner to Ashur, and brings Ashur in, saying, and in remarkable words, he says, I'm your servant and your son. Meaning to say he's completely submitting himself to Ashur, disregarding the words of Yeshayahu. Ashur comes in, and Ashur kills, attacks Damascus, and kills Ritzin, thereby quelling the rebellion. At the same time, he orchestrates an internal rebellion in the nation of Israel, and Pekach ben Ramaliah is killed, and in his place, in his stead, is a person called Hoshea ben Ela. Hoshea ben Ela is a person who ultimately rules the last period, is the last king of Israel, and even though he removes the Egle HaZahav that Yerovam ben Nevat put there, it's too late. It's kind of sealed. He's a vassal state for Assyria, paying taxes, very heavy taxes to Assyria. During this period of time, Ahaz actually now has created a state or a vacuum in which he's safe because now he's displayed his loyalty to Ashur. However, as we read when we read Menachem Beis, we saw that actually Ahaz is not just trying to do this for political saving face. He actually really, really believes in his foster parent, which is Ashur. He goes up to Damascus when Ashur conquers Ritzin, and he sees the Mizbeach that Ashur sets up there, that Assyria sets up there for their gods. And remember, he goes and sends a message back to the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, exactly what the Mizbeach looks like, and he reestablishes that Mizbeach. And we know that ultimately, he puts this Mizbeach in a place which is in between the Mizbeach, the real Mizbeach, and the Heichal, and he uses that as the Mizbeach, which is going to be one he sacrifices on. It's almost as if he's really readopted a new parent. He's no longer interested in serving Hashem. The Mefarshim tell us that ultimately he ends up closing the Beis HaMikdash for service at this point. We're talking about a really, really terrible stage in history. It's at this point in time that, as we saw at the end of the last Perek, that Yeshayahu went back to the Beis HaMikdash and he says, I'm going to be silent and hope for Hashem, which means to say it's sort of the mentality, we're not going to be able to succeed. And so if we're not able to succeed, maybe, well, he goes back to the Beis HaMikdash. At this point in time, Yeshayahu comes out again in Perek Tes, and this is where Perek Tes actually begins. And now we come to the actual Perek itself. Let's take a look in the actual Perek. This is a very complicated Perek, because there's two completely different themes. The first section really runs from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Zayin, and this section over here is almost like a sort of a idyllic view into the future. Remember, at this point in time, Yeshayahu has retreated into his Beis HaMikdash. He's no longer broadcasting to the general public, it seems like. He's not speaking to Ahaz at this point in time. So internally, he's talking about there's going to be a day where the people who walk in darkness, because remember, society is completely assimilated into Assyrian culture, but the nation who walks in darkness, Ra'u Or Gadol, there's going to be a great light in the future. What's that great light? He says in Pasuk Hey, very beautiful idea. Ki yeled yulad lanu. There is a boy who's been born to us. Bein nitan lanu. A child has been given to us. Va'atiyah misra al shechmo. And the kingship will be put on his shoulders. Va'yikra shemoi pela yo'etz. El gibor avi'ad sar shalom. He's going to be called the wondrous advisor of the avi'ad, this eternal sar shalom, this eternal minister of peace. Who is he referring to? He's referring to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who's going to ultimately come after the days of Ahaz and return Atara Yoshna, the crown, to its old glory. It is fascinating over here. It could be that even Chizkiyahu is already born and is among his students at this point in time. But the point is that he's consoling himself that despite all the terrible things that have happened outside, nonetheless, there is hope for the future. Now Yirmiyahu changes tune, and he really gives four stanzas, four ideas about what he sees in the terrible society around him and the problems of the society around them. Three of these stanzas are to be found at the end of Perek Tes. The fourth one is going to be found in Perek. Is going to be found, we'll see, at the beginning of Perek Yud. So let's focus on them quickly. The first stanza runs from Pasuk Zion to Yud Beis, and this is really about the arrogance and self-delusion of society. He talks about Israel keep rebuilding their society as they get chopped down. He's talking really at this point in time to the north, but also to the south, the Yehuda. And the way he sort of does it beautifully and poetically and graphically is he says the following. He says, Levanim naflu v'gozes nivne. These people are keep on saying, the Levanim, the blocks, the foundational blocks have fallen apart, but we'll put up beautiful cut blocks, which is kind of like antithetical. If your foundation is being broken down, you can't be putting up beautiful veneer on the top. Sycamore trees have been cut down, so now we're putting up cedar wood. But that doesn't make sense. First of all, cedar is much, much taller. If your shallower, smaller, long, less lasting wood is being taken away, you're not putting up longer lasting wood in the threat that you're experiencing. Also, Arazim, cedars are not renewable. Meaning that they're putting everything, they're not getting the sense that everything is falling apart in society. The closing line of each of these stanzas is, Behold, despite this, Loshov apoy v'oid yodoy znutuya, Hashem's anger is out there, His hand is out there, it's going to continue. This is how each of these stanzas close. That's stanza one. Stanza two runs from Pasuk Yud Gimel to Pasuk Tes Zayin, and this talks about the deceitful leadership of Israel at this point in time. He describes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes how he's going to cut down all the aspects of leadership in the society. Number one, he's going to cut down, again poetically, Rosh v'zanov. He's going to cut down the head and the tail. What does that mean? Kippah v'agmon. That means the sort of the crown, the crest of the date palms, and the agmon, and the reeds of the swamp. That's referring to two types of leaders. It's referring to the leaders like the kings, who are these tilting palm trees, sort of the idea of arrogance, but at the same time also tilting towards whichever side is paying them more, wherever their interests lie. And the idea of the agmon, this swamp and the reeds blowing in the swamp, we're referring to the Nevi'e Sheker, who are really, they don't really stand themselves. They keep blowing in the wind, whichever direction seems to proffer them better respect. And he's talking about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remove all those implements in society, because once again, B'chol Zos, Lo Shava Poi, V'od Yodon Netuya, Hashem's anger still there. And finally, the parak closes with the third stanza of this of his retribution to a broken society. And this talks about the war of brothers. And he describes how as society is experiencing external crises, internally, they are ultimately falling apart. Bara Ka'esh Rishah. That there's this fire igniting, Shamir v'shayish tochel, and each part of society is consuming itself. He talks about how Ephraim Menashe is Ephraim, Ephraim is Menashe, Yachdov Hema al Yehuda. So you have the east bank, that's the area of Menashe, fighting Ephraim, which is the west bank of the Jordan in the north. Remember the revolution after revolution, killing after killing of king of king of king, that's happening in the north, and while that's happening, they're also fighting the south, they're fighting Yehuda. It is all collapsing in the pressure of the external, of Aram arising, of Syria arising. This is what we see happening, unfortunately. And this is Yeshayahu's sort of comment on a society which has not succeeded in changing, but nonetheless is still commenting on to help and wish that it should be better. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.